So this morning we have a guest speaker. Where is she? Okay. And that guest speaker is Katie Collins. Come on up, Katie. And some of you know, others of you may not know, that Katie went to Mozambique back early part of June, through June, July, and into August, to spend time with Iris Ministries. They have a big base there. Iris Ministries is now a global ministry, but they have a base in Mozambique. A number of you are familiar with Heidi Baker, Roland and Heidi Baker, who really are the visionary leaders of that ministry. And Katie went over there, and I promised her there would be a time where she would be able to share with us about her trip and all that God did in her, with her, through her, to her, while she was on that trip. So she did that in the first service. She's going to do it again now. Would you just extend your hand to her? We just want to pray for her. She'll have liberty to share what it is God's placed on her heart. Father, we thank you this morning for Katie. And God, we just pray that you would bless her as she shares from her heart, as she opens her mouth and declares all the things that you did, Lord, during that time that she was in Mozambique, and the lessons that you've taught her and the things that you've deposited into her. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what it is that you want to impart to us this morning through her. Bless her, anoint her now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Good morning. It's really good to be home, to be able to see everybody. And before I jump right into sharing, I have a little bit of a photo slideshow that I wanted to share with you guys. So if you wouldn't mind running that, that would be great.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. And I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. Say
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed a little glimpse of my life from this summer. So I thought I'd share kind of just a typical week, what a typical week looked like while I was there, share a little bit about the outreach opportunity that you saw some of the pictures from, and then just share a little bit about what God did spiritually in me while I was there. But before I get into all that, just to kind of give you guys a little bit a background. So back in May, Mario gave me a chance to share a little bit before I left. And, you know, I said that, you know, missions is something that's been on my heart since I was a teenager. But really in the last couple of years, I felt like God was saying, okay, it's time now. So last summer, I started looking around and checking out a couple of different organizations, and I started talking to Emmalyn Hart, who Mario mentioned. And side note, Emmalyn says hi. She really misses the church family and looks forward to seeing you at some point in the near future, but she definitely says hi and appreciates your prayers and support. So anyway, I was talking to Emmalyn, and I said, you know, this is kind of who I am and what I do, and, you know, is there a place for me in Iris Global Ministries? And she said, yes, but if you're interested in working with them long-term, the first thing that they ask you to do is to attend the Harvest School, which is basically a 10-week kind of missions-like training school that they do twice a year. And it's kind of a chance for them to get to know me, for me to get to know them, and to sort of learn what they're about, who they are, what they believe, how they operate. So that's what I was doing. As Mario said, I left at the very, very end of May. So I was there through June, July, and the first part of August. And it was a pretty amazing time. Iris is, like Mario said now, they're a global missions organization. And when it comes right down to it, what they're about is just sharing the good news with the poorest of the poor around the world. And whether that's physical poverty or whether that's spiritual poverty, it doesn't matter. Just whoever needs to learn about the love of God, that's what they're about. And they do that in a lot of different ways. In Africa, they do quite a number of evangelistic type outreaches. They run Bible schools every year to train up bush pastors for all of the bush churches that they've been planting throughout Africa. They run medical clinics. They have primary and secondary schools for children. They drill wells in areas for villages that just don't have easy access to water, which I think is pretty cool from an engineering perspective. And they're starting to make plans to open a university in Pemba, which is in northern Mozambique, which is huge, because the only university that they have right now, I believe, is in Maputo, which is in the far south of the country. So that's kind of an exciting thing that they're working on. But so anyway, like I said, after talking to Emmalyn, I signed up for this Harvest School. And basically, just a day or a glimpse of the week. Typically, Monday through Thursday were class days. So from 8 o'clock in the morning until 1 to 2 in the afternoon, we attended classes. And really what that looked like is they'd have a round of worship music in the morning. They'd bring in a speaker who would share. In the late morning, they'd do another worship set and then bring in another speaker. And that was kind of typical. It changed a little bit depending on what was going on, but that was sort of a normal glimpse of what classes look like. And then in the later afternoon, Monday through Thursdays, there'd be optional classes that you could attend and just kind of hear the speakers share about, you know, their ministry, specifically testimonies or just things that God has revealed to them. And then Friday was what they call the practical mission day. And that was our chance to help out with one of the ministries that we're running on base. So for me, I was part of their village discipleship program, which is kind of like an after-school program for their little kids. So the kids go to school in the morning. They get done around noon. And then they'd come down to where we had this program, and they'd do songs and teach Bible verses and do basic, you know, letters and math to kind of reinforce what they were learning in school. And then we get to feed them a big plate of rice and beans. And for some of these kids, that was the meal that they got every day. And some of them would even bring like little containers so that they could eat part of their meal and then bring the rest of it home to feed their family. So for me, that was probably my favorite one of my two favorite opportunities to really interact with the Mozambican people, not only with the staff, because the guys that ran that program, most of them had grown up attending the program, and they'd been around for so long that now they've grown up, they're adults, and they've taken over running the program, and they just watching them with the kids and just seeing them interact is awesome. So that was really fun. And then just with the kids, letting them braid my hair. I'm not bald, thank God, but sometimes it felt like it. Braid my hair, you know, play with my very pale Irish skin, and just kind of love on them, hug them, let them climb all over you. They loved it. So that was kind of a neat opportunity that I got to have. And then Saturdays was just kind of a rest day. You could process all of the stuff that went on during the week, journal, go to the beach, go to the market, whatever you needed to do. That was kind of Saturday. And then Sunday was a church day. And then the afternoons were kind of a do whatever you want to do to get ready for the week. So that's kind of what the week looked like most of the time. And then as you saw on the slideshow, I was able to participate in one of the weekend evangelistic outreaches that they do. And to give you a little bit of background, they believe really strongly in getting out into the bush. And by the bush, I mean anywhere from like an hour outside of the city to like 7 hours outside of the city. And you drive, some of it's driving on a paved, nice road, and some of it's like bush country. Like, you don't think a big, huge bus would be able to make it through that ginormous ravine. And they do. So they send teams out every weekend, all year long. And they have, for northern Mozambique, which I think is like three provinces, they send three teams out every week, regardless of whether the harvest school is running or not. And they have guys that's what they do full time. That's their job. And then the other bases throughout Mozambique go as well. So typically they're sending anywhere from 15 to 20 different teams out all over the country of Mozambique every weekend, which is awesome. And while they're running the harvest school, we get to go with them and participate in these outreaches. So usually what it looked like is in the evenings, they'd show the Jesus film, which was in the language. There were two languages. There's Portuguese, which is the colonial language. And then in northern Mozambique, Makua is the native language. So the video is shown in Makua, which is interesting to try to understand from a non-Makua-speaking perspective. But they'll show the Jesus film. We did skits. They shared, you know, messages. They did fire tunnels, just kind of giving people a lot of times their first introduction to Jesus. And most of them have never seen a film before, so a lot of them come just because you're showing a video, and they've never experienced that before, and God gets them while they're there. And then during the day, a lot of times if they've been to the village before, they'll already have planted a church there. So you'll be able to interact with the pastor, just kind of support the ministry that they've started there. We were able to do some small group outreaches just into the community, you know, walk down the street and start up conversations with whoever you run into, or go to someone's home and sit with them. So just kind of a really neat cultural experience to be able to have. And the village that I went to, it was kind of cool. A couple of weeks, so I went towards the end of the school, and I don't know, maybe within the first month of the school, a team had gone to this village, and Heidi and Roland Baker happened to be on that particular outreach for the weekend. So Heidi was up sharing one night, and like into the middle of the group walks this like witch doctor with puff adders wrapped all around his head and hanging off his arms and stuff like that. And I didn't know this, but puff adders are apparently one of the most poisonous snakes like in the world. So he comes into the middle of the group to challenge what was going on. And Heidi was sharing with us later, and she's just like, okay, God, what do you want to do here? Like, what are you doing? And he just spoke into her heart that this man who was, I mean, he was known throughout the region. The police were terrified of him because he had killed people before. Just scary, dangerous dude. And, you know, she's just like, okay, God. And God said, he's tired. So she just walked up and said, you know, she just quietly said, you're tired, aren't you? And she said his face just crumpled. And he gave his heart to the Lord. He and his girlfriend, who was also a witch doctor, they both gave their hearts to the Lord. they were baptized that weekend, and then they were also married, because culturally they don't always have a place to go and get married, so a lot of them just live together. So it was really a transformational weekend for this couple. And then when we went back a few weeks later, the first night we were there, I'd stayed back with our tents to kind of watch over our stuff. And I was sitting there waiting for the team to come back. And this couple walks into the camp. And they came over really friendly, you know, shook my hand. And when I shook hands with the woman, I noticed that she had no fingers, like she had stubs for fingers. And this woman who was a witch doctor was also a leper. So I knew from their previous testimony, like when I saw that she had no fingers, I'm like, oh, I know who these people are. But you never would have guessed, because their countenances were just so different and so changed. So I actually, Iris put together a little bit of a video clip with the testimony that I'd like to share. If you guys could run that, I'd appreciate it.
On a recent outreach into the Mozambican bush, a local witch doctor named Nachuha and his partner Albertina were saved, baptized, and delivered from darkness. They were married that same day. A few weeks later, an Iris team returned to their village and they shared their testimony.
A few weeks ago, he was saved. He says he is leaving all of his past life, and she is leaving all of her past life to follow the Lord, to have a new life in God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He said before, he walked with lions, leopards, and snakes to hurt people, to kill people, to destroy. He said he was a very strong witch doctor. Now he is here to hear the word of the Lord.
Para receber a unção de Deus.
To receive the anointing of the Lord.
Para ter nova vida.
To have a new life. He said that day when he was baptized, he felt a totally different spirit and he was completely changed. He's here to obey and receive from the Lord. Hallelujah! Mama, qual coisa aconteceu? Quando você recebeu Jesus, she said she learned about love.
Your light and shine, your light.
She used to be very skinny. She had leprosy. She said it used to hurt all the time from the leprosy, but she doesn't hurt anymore. She can do any kind of work. Hallelujah. Este é o amor de Jesus.
Yeah, so that was just one, and that was just one story. I mean, God is doing stuff like that every weekend when they go out on outreach, and it was so amazing to just be there, to be a part of it, to really hear about their heart for God and for his people. So as I was sitting this week trying to decide like what I wanted to share and stuff, I really, like, God did some amazing things like in my heart and my life. And, you know, how do you boil 10 weeks down into a couple of minutes to share? But the big theme that was kind of that he really focused on in my life while I was there was intimacy with God. And, you know, from the time that you're a young Christian, you have people telling you, you know, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, you need to, you know, be talking to God day in and day out. But just understanding the reality of, you know, whether I'm working in a secular job or whether I'm in Africa, you know, surrounded by witch doctors walking into camp, like, we have such access to God through Jesus. And we really need that consistent daily experience with him to be able to operate from a place of peace and a place of power and really to show the love of Christ to the world. And that was kind of the big thing that he really like drove home again and again and again while I was there and since I've been home as well. But it kind of started a couple of weeks in. Heidi had shared in class, and she was leading the class in just a time of just seeking God and, you know, asking for increased passion and a, you know, a renewed fire in our lives. So, you know, I was like flat out on the floor, and I'm like, okay, God, like, I know I need this. So do whatever you have to do. Go ahead, go. And I'm like, anytime. Like, just whenever you're ready, I'm right here. And I waited. And I was like, okay, God. And, you know, look, like trying not to look around and be distracted because people around me were definitely feeling the fire and getting renewed passion. And I'm like, okay, God, anytime, do whatever you need to do. And I was like, you know, is there something in me that you need, that I need to repent of, that you need to break off? Like, I don't care, just whatever you want to do. And I was laying there quiet and waiting. And then I just felt him say to me, Katie, you've made an idol out of togetherness. Like, you want to control what you allow the world to see of you so much that it's controlling you. And, like, my first reaction was like, but God, like, that's safe. That's how I keep myself safe. And he very quickly said, but that's my job, not yours. And will you trust me to do that for you? So being the good little Christian girl I am, I was like, okay, I'm sorry, I repent. But I am 34 and been doing this for a while, so you're going to have to do it because I can't. So you're going to have to break this off me. And like I said, I think that was like week 3 or week 4 or something, and he did. Over the next couple of weeks, like, he gave me tools that I could use that really were for my protection instead of the old stuff and the old habits that I had. There were moments where he showed me things that he wove into who I was and things that I remembered from childhood, but just kind of showed me how he was drawing those out of me over the course of my life, which super cool. And, you know, there was even this one experience that was towards the end of the school. It was kind of a week-long thing that he was like building up to this day that I didn't realize until after the fact what he was doing. But the speaker that day had shared on adoption and just who we are as God's sons and daughters. And towards the end of it, he said, all right, I'm gonna pray. He said that, you know, God would really just download this into your lives, that you would really grasp, like, who you are in Christ. And he said, so on the count of three, or, you know, I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to do something. He said, there's a prophetic act sometimes in making an action. He said, so if you want to yell, you can yell. If you want to jump up and down, you can jump up and down. If you want to dance, you dance, whatever it is. But whatever you do, be big about it. Like, do it with everything that you have in you. And I'm thinking, great, because I'm such a big, loud, messy person. Like, this is perfect. Like, okay. But there's part of me that's like, but God, I want this so bad. I'm so tired of being stuck where I'm at. Like, so fine. Just whatever. Like, break me and pour me out. I'll do it. So he counts to three. And I, like, started... I decided to yell. So I started yelling, and like I'm yelling, and like my voice keeps breaking, so it's not very big and loud. And I'm like, God, I know this is in me because I can feel it. I know it's there, but like you gotta break this and like bring it out of me. And I was like, because I really hate being messy and I hate being loud. We know this about me, but do it. Like, you could do it. It's okay. And, like, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I was messy, and I was very loud, and I definitely drew lots of attention to myself. Not, well, it's just big and loud and messy. It's going to do that. But, like, man, God, I don't even have language for everything that he did during that time. But I know that he broke stuff off of me and, like, pulled stuff up out of me, like, dug stuff out of me. Like, he spoke things over my life. And he just set me free in ways that I have a feeling are going to sneak up and surprise me down the road from now. But it just, it changed me. And I'm never going to be the same again. And the walk with God that I have and the intimacy that I walk with him is not going to be the same ever again from that day. And I don't know what I'm doing. The plans that I kind of had were like, were starting to work out in my head when I left. He kind of like dumped upside down and said, no, we're not going to do that. Because I was thinking, you know, long-term move to Pemba where Emlyn is working now and kind of work with the base there. And there were a number of reasons. Big one of them is that I'm a little main girl that can't take the heat because I was there in the winter. It was like mid to high 80s, which was gorgeous. Summer is about 100 degrees and 90% humidity, and I will melt into a puddle on the floor. But they do. I love the organization. I love what they're about. There are some really incredible, amazing people. You know, case in point, Emmeline has been working with them for 10 years. So they have another base in South Africa. I'm hoping to be able to take a short trip out there in January to check the base out. So that's sort of the reorganized plans at this point. But yeah, just a really amazing time. You know, what adult in the middle of, you know, after working, I think I've been working for just about 10 years, you know, what adult gets like this break for the summer to go away and spend 10 weeks with a community of like amazing, just sold out believers, and, you know, really to tuck into God and listen to his heart. So I'm just so thankful for the opportunity. Thank you for those of you who are praying for me. I appreciate it. And I'd really appreciate your prayers too moving forward, just as God kind of reveals what he's doing, because he has a plan, he said, but he's not going to tell me right now. So anyway, thank you very much. It's good to be home, like I said.
That was just so good to hear, wasn't it? And to see? Amazing. I would like to do in this service, to bring the service to a close, what we did in the first service. And that is, can everyone stand? And we've heard so much about what happened during the time that Katie was in Mozambique with Iris during this summer. But I really sensed quite strongly this morning that we as a congregation should pray for that ministry. And so we did this in the first service. I'm going to ask you to do it in this service, and it might mean stepping outside your comfort zone a little bit. But what I would like you to do is just gather together in little clusters, maybe of 3-5 people. And as the Lord leads you, I want you to intercede and pray for Roland and Heidi Baker, who are really the visionary leaders of this ministry, but also for the ministry at large, for everything that God is doing with them. They really are now global in their reach. And you've heard and seen this morning just some of what it is that God is doing through this ministry. We want to stand with them. We want to pray for them. We want to intercede for them this morning. And God is going to lay things on your heart specifically so that we can do that as a congregation, okay? And obviously, we have Emmeline over there, who was a part of this congregation for a lot of years and who we love and esteem and hear from time to time when she's back here. So once we're going to bring that time of prayer to an end, Katie's going to wrap that up with some corporate prayer for the ministry to bring that to a close. So I'm just going to ask you, would you gather together now with people around you? And let's just take some time now as the Lord leads us to pray for Iris Ministries and bring them before the throne of grace this morning. So, Father, come now through your Holy Spirit. Lead this time of prayer in Jesus' name.